We were in the city of Kinshasa expecting 70 pastors, and we get there, and there's over 200 leaders that are gathered there. The music has been going on already. Worship is taking place. We pull up in our little vehicle, and they're ushering us in enthusiastically, and we're brought into this environment of great anticipation, expectation, much of it caused by desperation. These people were so in need of a touch from God, so hungry for God, so knowing that they didn't have answers for the chaos in their city, the corruption that their government had brought into their lives, and just the chaos that was day-to-day living there. They needed a touch from God, and as we came with God's word, they just hungrily ate it up. And we did experience high worship, just adoring Christ. And as that took place, people were on their faces before God, repenting. We talked about forgiveness. We talked about letting go of the hurts and the pains and the spears in their hearts that they were hanging on to. And people did. Love broke out amongst people that hadn't loved each other for a long time. It was thrilling to watch. It was a mountaintop experience. It was as if I was in the midst of teaching and preaching, and I'm thinking, you're using me to do this? I get the thrill, the privilege of doing this? God, thanks. I could do that little dialogue because everything I said, I had to then pause and let my translator say, and then I'd speak again. And so I was kind of liking that rhythm. I don't know, Kirk, maybe you could come stand next to me, and I'll talk, you talk, and then we could kind of do this sing-songy thing. The one thing the translator we used was a guy I got to use 11 years ago named Patrick, and he was great. He's translated for Americans who have come and preached all over Africa. I think the biggest crowd was 1 million, but I'm not sure the exact number of people they preached to that time. We were talking about the floorboards in the room of prayer, the upper room of prayer, as we're anticipating God doing. And as you seek God and desire to have intimacy with Him, there's this holy anticipation that takes over, and the floor starts vibrating, and you kind of start shaking. God, I need you, and I'm doing this. And I look over, and Patrick's doing it. I thought, well, that's kind of neat. So I did it again, and he did it again, and we did it back and forth. We had this dancing thing all week long that we did together. It was a highlight. We encouraged them to give. Very, very poor people. We said, you need to invest in what God's going to do in the next city. So we challenged him, we encouraged him, and I was a little uncomfortable. I didn't do that part. Pastor Willie did, and he could do it in a more African-sensitive way. And he challenged him to give, out of their poverty, out of their lack, give. And Pastor Willie had told us that he'd done this over in Kenya, he'd done this over in Eastern Congo, and numerous places. And, you know, they'd get basically $100. It would be thousands of Congolese francs, but it was basically $100, $150. The offering in Kinshasa was 960 American dollars. It was like eight times anything he'd ever seen before. And there were these leaders just hungry to be involved and willing to sacrifice to take it to other cities and invest in reaching other areas of Africa. We left Kinshasa on this tremendous high. We're just ecstatic what God had done. And we eventually get over to Lubumbashi, and we go to Willie's church, which was so fun. His church was a tin roof, red plastic sheeting, dirt floor, and people adoring God. And if you want to see some little video clips of Swahili language worship, let me know. We'll enjoy those together. But then the next day we went to our second conference. Totally different. Hardly anybody there. Some worship team up there playing, but it's noise. It's electric guitars and drums and piano and young people singing, and it was music, but it wasn't worship. And there's just this saturated feeling of something being wrong. Pastor Willie put a name to it. He says, this place is filled with pride. We've got to break through pride. And a few pastors started straggling in over the morning, but it hadn't really started yet. And I'm just praying, Lord, what do we do? What do I say? You know, I've got some teaching lessons prepared, but we're not ready to do that yet. What do we do, God? And suddenly an idea popped into my head. Now, I'm not smart enough to think up these kind of things, so I don't get any credit. But suddenly there's this idea. There's a name. There's a situation in Scripture. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. You sure, God? You want me to talk about Zacchaeus? And it just kept growing. This sense, you got to talk about Zacchaeus. You know who Zacchaeus is? Creed, you know who Zacchaeus is? How do we describe Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. So, of course, the song's going through my mind. No, I didn't teach him the song. In fact, I'm a little musically and rhythmically challenged. Later, 3 days later, we were worshiping in Lubumbashi, and they have these tin boxes full of beads, and so as this crowd is worshiping, I go up there, and I ask the lady if I could use that box. So I'm trying to worship, and she says, like this. I said, oh, no, like this. I never did get the rhythm right. So I eventually gave it to her, and she was relieved. Eventually, Pastor Willie was trying to call them to order, and I just went up and I interrupted him. I said, let me tell you about Zacchaeus. You remember the story? It's Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. A rich betrayer of his own people. Chief tax collector. Not just a tax collector, but the chief tax collector who was in charge of other tax collectors who worked for the Roman oppressors. The government that had taken over the land of Israel and was forcing the people to give taxes towards Rome. People hate paying taxes, but you especially hate paying taxes to a foreign power that's ruling over your country. And Zacchaeus was in charge of that. And he was rich. He was despised. He was seen as a betrayer. But a miracle happened. You see what the text said? The text said a miracle happened. Jesus is entering through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He wanted, what did he want? He wanted to see Jesus. Let's just realize that's a miracle. That's a miracle. When a person wants to see Jesus, that's not something that started inside of here. That's something that started in heaven and somehow was put inside a person so that suddenly this desire is there. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. A miracle took place in Zacchaeus' heart. And then a second miracle happened in Zacchaeus' heart. You see what it says he did? Because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran. This wealthy man, short man, but rich. You know what happens to Canaanite, in Israel, people who were wealthy? They get food. You know what happens to people who get food? Well, in my case, in some of our cases, we get bigger around the middle. So I've always pictured Zacchaeus as short and round. But he was rich. So not only did he have lots of food, he probably had really fancy clothing. So he's quite the figure walking around through the crowd there. And he did something very humbling. He ran. Old men don't run. Roger, tomorrow you're going to be old, so tomorrow you can't run anymore. But he ran. Why did he run? Why did Zacchaeus run? He wanted to see Jesus. Staying still, he wouldn't see Jesus. There was no hope of him seeing Jesus where he was. So out of a hunger for God, which was a gift from God, he humbled himself enough to run. But he didn't just run. You know what he did next, Creed? What did he do next? He climbed a tree. An old fat guy in a fancy robe climbing a tree. That doesn't happen. Unless there's a miracle going on. He wanted to see Jesus. So he humbled himself. A desire was put inside him, and then the gift of humility was put inside of him. So he ran, he climbed. Now, use your sanctified imagination. There's a big crowd around Jesus coming down the street, and they get closer and closer, and they see this big, fat, rich man in a tree. What do you think the kids did? Do you think they pointed? Do you think they laughed? Do you think they giggled? Look at that crazy guy up in the tree. And then as the crowd goes a little further, some of the adults start, you know, getting near and realizing, well, check that out. That's the chief tax collector, the hated guy. And he's in a tree. I'm sure they're just enjoying that to no end. Zacchaeus up in a tree. It takes a while for a crowd to move. It takes a while for Jesus and the mass of people around him to get near. So he had plenty of time to hear the jeers, to see the looks of people, to feel that. There's a third miracle. He stayed in that tree. He stayed. Sometimes when you're laughed at, you get up and run. You sneak away. Zacchaeus stayed. God was at work in Zacchaeus' heart. He humbled himself. Do you want to see Jesus enough to humble yourself? Do not be concerned what the kids are saying and the other adults, your peers are saying. Do you want to see Jesus so much that you're willing to humble yourself? If it takes running, if it takes climbing a tree, you're willing to do it? Because you know that life as it is going is not enough. You're discontent with what's going on. You say, I need something from God. Life, no matter how wealthy it might be, no matter how privileged my situation might be, is not fulfilling. I need something more. I need God. But how do you see God? Yeah, it takes a miracle from God to initiate something. But oftentimes, God is wanting to work in us in such a way that we're willing to humble ourselves. I preached that tiny little message. It just popped into my head as I'm praying in the front of a crowd in Lubumbashi. And God started working. And that's why I'm preaching it today, because I believe that you sent me there with messages that God downloaded into me. And as I preached them over the last 6 weeks, you received them. And as you received them, they became empowered to be taken over to the Congolese people. And they were blessed through them. So you launched something that they received. Well, God did something in Lubumbashi that I am convinced he says, now take this that I gave you and was received there in Lubumbashi, and it's for your people too. Because you know this thing called pride, it doesn't just attack pastors in Lubumbashi. It pretty much attacks all of us at one way or another. Maybe you're pretty good at hiding your pride. You know what the backside of pride is? It's kind of downplaying who you are and saying you're a nobody. That's really the same thing. It's just the other side of that coin. It's thinking about us. Whether we talk too much about ourselves or deride ourselves in front of people, it's still this focus on us. We need a miracle from God to break that down. And God did it in Zacchaeus. And as I taught on that, people started responding. And I said, think about what happened to Zacchaeus. He humbled himself, and the crowd is laughing at him. Finally, Jesus gets up, and Jesus stands right there in front of Zacchaeus in his tree. Now, don't rush the story. Use your sanctified imagination. What's going on? There's probably some time that takes place, and Zacchaeus is in the tree, and Jesus is down there. Jesus is looking at him. And the crowd's wondering, what's going to happen? What does Jesus say? He says, Zacchaeus, come down. Pause. Pause right there. What'd the crowd hear? Yeah, come down, Zacchaeus, you silly old man. Get out of the tree. How ridiculous you look. Ha, ha, ha. What did Zacchaeus hear? Was that a rebuke? What does God say to you? When you've risked, when you've humbled, when you've ran, when you've climbed, when you've been desperate and you need God, what does God say to you? Does he yell at you and say, get out of the tree? You're being ridiculous. If you hear that, let me tell you something. You're not hearing God's inflection. You're hearing the devil changing the tone. Because the devil ridicules. The devil rebukes. The devil tries to make you feel stupid and crazy and ridiculous and a nobody. But Jesus, when he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately," continued on to say, "For I must stay at your house today." Shocking! The crowd couldn't believe it. They were laughing along when Jesus said, "You must come down." But when Jesus said, "I must stay at your house," they were absolutely floored. How could this one who claims to be the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, then say, "I'm going to stay at the house of someone who's an obvious sinner"? They were shocked. And Zacchaeus was shocked. Zacchaeus never in his wildest imagination thought that would be what he heard today. But see, God was at work. God put within him a desire to see Jesus. God put within him the ability to humble himself, to run, to climb, to wait, to endure, to look at Jesus, to press through those first words that he wasn't sure what Jesus meant until he heard those words, "I must stay at your house today." Who are the people? Who are the people that hear Jesus say, "I want to stay in your house today"? Who are the people that hear Jesus say, "I want to sit in your house with you, have a meal together, look each other in the eyes. I want to have a relationship with you of intimacy"? Who are the people that get to hear that? It's not the proud. It's not the self-sufficient. It's not the arrogant. It's the humble. Are you humble? Are you willing to be humble? Are you willing to let God do the miracle of breaking down the pride and removing those concerns about how you're viewed in society? Are you willing to let God do a work in you that causes you to know, "I need God. I can't make it on my own any longer, no matter how much wealth I have. I am empty on the inside. I need God"? When you get there, that's when Jesus says, "I want to be with you in your house today. I know that's what I need. So, I'm nobody special. Just this guy came from America and here with you in the center of Africa. I'm nobody special. And I need Jesus, and I humble myself." I got down on my knees. And I said, "Do any of the rest of you want God enough? Need a touch from Jesus so much that you're willing to humble yourself? If so, come join me in the front." And God used that little idea that he popped into my head as I was praying that morning and how to start our time to break through the stronghold of pride. And pastors and worship leaders and other people came and joined me on the front until there wasn't anybody standing. The worship team that had kind of just been there and not really paying any attention suddenly realized, "Oh, this is for us too." And it was a room full of people on their knees. Does that translate? Does that scenario travel? Are the truths that were working in that crowd truths that also work in this crowd? Does it work in your heart? Jesus is walking down the road. Sometimes we can't see him. There's so many obstacles, so many barriers, both in the world around us and sometimes in our own heart. Stuff blocks our ability to see Jesus. And we've got to realize something. If we really want to see Jesus, we've got to change something. Standing where we are, we're not going to see past the heads in front of us or past the stuff that's crowded our lives. We need some humility, some breaking down of strongholds of pride that the devil is trying to continue to erect in our lives, in our thinking, in our hearts. I'm convinced God gave me that message for that morning. He says, "Take it to your people. It's for us." Because we can get proud. We can get proud in our humility. We can get proud in the fact that we're Christians. We can get proud in the fact that we care about Africans and we sent our team to Africa and bought them food. And so aren't we great? And The devil twists those things so quickly until all of a sudden we're feeling pride in our service. And we need to continually be men and women who drop to our knees and say, I reject pride. I reject self-sufficiency. I reject my ability to be a Christian. I just call out, Jesus, I need you. Would you come and let me sit with you? Would you come into my house? Would you do a dialogue with me? Look how that story ends. The despised Zacchaeus, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus, he stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Percentages there. 50% to the poor, 400% to anybody I've wronged. You know what those add up to? Poverty. Poverty. I'm giving it away, God. Because suddenly, that which I've clinged to is of no value to me compared to what I've just received. An invitation to be with Jesus. To have you in my home. That's the treasure that I've always been looking for and didn't realize. The other stuff has been in the way too long. And Jesus made a declaration. Jesus who knows hearts. Jesus who sees inside. Jesus who reads minds. Jesus who sees how God is changing the landscape of a person's soul. Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Lost Zacchaeus, proud Zacchaeus, wealthy Zacchaeus at the beginning of this paragraph. At the end is poor Zacchaeus, humble Zacchaeus, saved Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus who met Christ, who had an encounter with the living God. May God do that in you and me, in us. Let's pray. Lord, we choose to humble ourselves. We choose to declare our need for you. We choose to say, we want you. We want to see you. We're not content on the back edge of the crowd anymore. We're not content with stuff blocking our vision anymore. We are desperate. So we're willing to run, we're willing to climb, we're willing to humble, we're willing to be laughed at, jeered at, ridiculed, insulted, Lord, because that stuff doesn't matter anymore. You matter. So walk our way, Lord. Let us stay in the position in which we're near you, Lord. And Lord, would you grace us with a glance in our direction? What you did to Zacchaeus, would you do to us? Can we picture this, Lord? Would you put this image in our eyes of us being in a tree and of you stopping in front of us and us having an eye-to-eye, face-to-face encounter, Lord? Would you do that in each soul right now? By your grace, the God who wants all men and women to be saved, would you bring that moment into our lives right now? And Lord, attune our ears to hear you in your truth. Block out the lies of the world and the lies of the devil. We don't want to hear those anymore. We want to hear your truth. We want you to hear, daughter of God, son of God, come down immediately. And we want to hear that not as a rebuke. We want to hear that for what it really is, an invitation from the heart of God to us. And Lord, as you give that, give us faith right now. May there be a transformation on the inside, because you spoke it, and when you speak it, it can be done. Your word does not return void. So speak that into each soul right now, an invitation. Come down. Come to me. I desire to be with you today. Lord, if there's interference going on right now in any soul, would you break that off? Break off those lies. Break off those wrong thoughts. Let us just be in this holy moment where we're hearing your invitation, where we're hearing you tell us, come to me, come to me. You who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. You who have been trying to earn your own way, to make a way of being prestigious in the society around you, those of you who have been blocked off from a true sight of God, today you're being called. Jesus is inviting you. And he's not just inviting you to follow a different set of rules. He's inviting you to let go of all those efforts of gaining favor by your deeds to now just receiving an invitation where Jesus says, I want to be with you. Lord, the text says Zacchaeus came down immediately and warmly, enthusiastically received you. And it was immediately changed. His values were immediately changed. Do that in us. Put within us right now a hunger, a desire, an ability to receive you, to wrap our arms around you, to wrap our soul around you, to hear your words of love and invitation right now. We say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you, Jesus. Come into our house today. And let it be true, Lord Jesus, of each and every one of us. Today, salvation has come to this house. This man too, this woman too, is a son of God. For the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save the lost. We receive your salvation. We put our faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy. Enjoy having Jesus dining with you in your house today.